I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, I need time off for chode maintenance.
Do payphones have change? Because I like really wanted to know.
Taste the rainbow. Puke the rainbow.
Whoa, black pudding, bam-ba-lam.
All cats are dicks.
Why don't you just use a tennis racket?
Wonder Pig has a big ass.
Eggs fresh from the butt.
It's the final payphone. Doodaloo-doo.
Tony Braxton Hicks.
I'm five again, and it's terrible.
That's not an ace. It's a club.
Littered with puffins.
Journey to Hellhole Road with Amy.
Everything but Wendy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I just got kicked out of church for saying, the devil. What the I thought we hated that mother. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Better than a pound of jam in your pants.
Ryan Ibbett will have a pound of a kind of jam in his pants when he rides the MS-150.
I will, yes.
Yeah, that's coming up. What are we, like days? Or, no,
23
weeks?
Days, 3 weeks away. So basically, 3 weeks from Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention I'm not going to be available for FilmSack today? probably should bring that up.
Yeah, we should probably work out that whatever we're going to do.
I'm going to need a day off of FilmSack, mm-hmm. boss.
Yep. Yeah, you'll be rubbing your chode and
jeez.
You know, well, I mean,
I won't be rubbing it. I'll be applying some goo to it, but
yeah, but no rubbing. No rhythmic rubbing of the chode, right?
No rhythmic rubbing of the chode.
No.
Unless you count 6 hours of bicycle seat.
Yeah, the rubbing you don't want, the rubbing you didn't ask for.
Yes, exactly. The whole reason you have that butter, the rubbing of the bicycle seat.
Indeed.
Finally, it'll be warm enough for me to bike outside again today. Finally, after a week of rain and 50 degree temperatures and stuff like that. So
been super cold snappy here as well. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Something in the Intermountain West where we're just like, hey, remember winter? How about a little extra winter? Mm-hmm. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
We even had some flurry snow the other day, which made no sense. But yeah, it's supposed to warm up here as well. Well, that's good because, you know, got to get all the rides in you can.
Yeah.
And we're glad to be here today, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's June 2nd, 2022. It's TMS. I'm Scott and that's Brian. And we have a show to do. Hey, a little shorter today. No Wendy today. Just a note. I've got a meeting I must attend. It makes us have to end a little early. It's not quite half a show, but it's, you know, it's basically
two-thirds a show. Two-thirds of a show?
Sure. Almost a full show.
It's everything but Wendy today, right?
It's everything but Wendy. Exactly.
Yeah. Still have Amy in the middle. Still have Amy.
Sure.
Yeah.
One little segment, you'll all survive, okay? unless you really needed to hear from Wendy. But listen, I promise
even
you
therapists need a break sometimes.
That's right. We're giving her the week off. All right. I ate a bubble, and I'm a little concerned. Let me tell you how that went down.
Okay.
Yesterday, excuse me, my voice.
Wow.
My allergies, man. It's killing me this year.
Yeah.
Little boy hanging out of the house. His name is Van. He is technically my grandson, but it's almost like he's my own kid. That's how I feel about him. He's just a sweet little turd, and I just love him, and he's great.
Aww.
Now he's over his COVID run, and the whole family's better now. They're all good. Dylan, everything still tastes funny to him, but other than that, they're all fine. So they came to hang out yesterday, and he loves bubbles, so we get the big bubble, you know, the big ring.
The wand, right.
You take it outside, and it's huge.
Is it the flexible big ring? Like it's a, like you basically have to hold it in two places?
Or oh,
is it
no, just those like are cool, big? Though. Those are the best. Those are the ones that produce, like, the bubbles that you'll never forget. This one's a little bit more like
it's like you're holding the fine edges of a ping pong paddle, Photoshop.
Kind
of,
yeah. It's big, it's slightly, it's like tennis racket size, okay. But it's a single, you know, hold it with your hand kind of thing.
Why don't you just use a tennis racket?
Hey, wait a minute. Would that work?
You would have a ton of little bubbles. It absolutely would work. Yeah. That's
interesting. Someone's done this. I should find the video.
Yeah. It's TikTok, the whole TikTok.
Hell yeah. Like if this isn't on YouTube or TikTok, then what are we even doing?
Right. Exactly. Yes.
So anyway, he's out there with his big bubble maker. And at one point he makes one so big that it floats for a good long while. And he's super excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really paying attention at this point. I'm back there with the girls, Kim and my two daughters. And this thing's just sort of floating. And I turn around and just in time to be taking in a breath of air, a little stuffy in the nose from the allergies. And I breathe in right as a bubble pops right in my face. And I suck in most of the soap material that the bubble is made of. And I have to admit, there's something that brought, like, I don't know how to explain this. You know in Ratatouille when the guy eats at the table? He's like the grumpy reviewer guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes, he's a little kid again, and he remembers Ratatouille. Yeah. It was like that, except it was like I was taken back to being 5 or 6 when I accidentally ate bubbles or something.
Sure.
And it was kind of traumatic.
That flavor, like, you know exactly what you're talking about. Like, it's an interesting flavor profile. Uh-huh. But I mean, it's one of those things that they say that scent and taste are like the two things that can trigger memories.
Yeah. And I think that's really what it was. And it was powerful. Mm-hmm. It was like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm 5 again, and this is a terrible experience. It was weird.
Right. Because as a 5-year-old, it's not something that happens accidentally. You try it. You're like, oh my God, I want to eat one of those things. Mm-hmm. And you eat it and then realize, well, that was a really bad idea.
Yeah. Which is what, you know, you do that a lot when you're younger because you don't know any better. And, you know, all the way up through high school, I had friends who were crushing and snorting sweet tarts. So what did we know? We were a dumb generation. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that happened, but it was nice to see the boy. Oh, the worst part though is he spent the day. Kim can't say no to him. Like if he wants treats, if he wants gummies, he wants snacks, he wants whatever, not those kind of gummies, people. Kim is like, sure, go for it. And he loves, you know, mainly those fruit snacks, just loves them. Just could eat fruit snacks all day, which he kind of did on and off. Okay. And I get this text from Taylor this morning. I guess Van is up hurling all night. Not because he doesn't have any kind of bug or anything. He just ate too much.
Puke the rainbow. Yeah. Taste the rainbow. Puke the rainbow.
Yeah, taste the rainbow again. Although this time, slightly digested
all the way,
rainbow.
All the way out. Yes. Oh.
Yeah, poor kid. So he was up hurling fruit snacks. And I said, well, Kim, what do you think of that? She says, well, I'm still not going to say no. He's too. It's her job. She's supposed to spoil him. Yeah.
If he was puking at her house, maybe it'd be a different story. But no, you guys kind of get to load him up and then push him away to the
exactly.
To Taylor's.
You're totally right about this. All right, so I have something to share with you because I just think you'd really dig this.
Cool. Okay.
I don't know why I thought of you. Well, I do know why, because you're a Vegas guy. You like games of chance. There's something about the mystique of it all that attracts Brian and his very brightly colored shirt that he's wearing today.
That's right.
I found
don't
a game.
Don't look, Marion. Don't look directly at it.
Yeah, don't look at it, Marion. Shut your eyes. There's a little game, just came out today. An indie game, indie title, came out from Devolver Digital. They make a lot of great indie titles. And they put out a game today called Card Shark. I put car in the chat or in the thing, but it's card.
You did that to throw me off because you knew I'd Google it to see what...
you were going to spoil the surprise. Yeah. How smart of me. It's a game called Card Shark, and it's set in chat, and I'm playing some video for the chat. It's set in old timey France, like
Yeah.
1800s or something.
I already love the look of this.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the whole point of the game is not playing cards. It's cheating at cards. So when you start, you're a little waiter guy at a French bistro, and there are people in there gambling and drinking and stuff. And they're all wearing their hoity-toity, you know, King Louis looking clothes. And, you know, it's definitely from that era, the very unique art style. And some shysters in there and sucks you in. This is just part of the tutorial. He sucks you into being the waiter that kind of only pours a drink or wipes the table when he's looking at some other player's cards across the table. He'll be over there pouring a drink, and you actually literally have to pour a drink, glance at this dude's cards over his shoulders, see how many of a certain suit he, like if he has prominently diamonds, then you have to go wipe the table in the pattern that you've both decided means diamonds.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then the other guy can win the money. So he's a cheat and he's cheating everybody. And your job is to help him do that. Now, later on, you become a player yourself and you learn a bunch of other cheats. And I haven't gotten that far. I barely cracked into it.
But, yeah, I'm seeing like shoving cards up your sleeve and dealing from the bottom of the deck. This is hilarious.
It's really, really cool. And the art style and the animation and stuff is some of the most unique stuff I've seen in years. Yeah. I really, really dig it. And it's only $16 and it's on Mac and PC. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So far.
It's coming to Switch.
Swatch. Perfect. Because you know what? It's best on controller for sure.
Is it really? As opposed to playing.
You can do mouse and keyboard, no problem. But it's just even tells you in the beginning, we recommend a controller if you can or something. So you go and you're see chat. He's pouring the wine, and you have to be careful because if you overpour, you'll seem nervous, and the other guy will have a suspicion meter that you're cheating. You could do this in the Old West or something if they wanted to. They didn't, but that's totally what it could have been. It could have been a cowboy thing.
Easily. It feels like it. Yeah.
And I don't even know what game they're playing. Like, it's not even, I don't know if it's poker. At least I'm not far enough to tell because it doesn't actually matter. All that matters.
Like some sort of poker with like how many cards they have and stuff. Yeah. All right, I'm seeing if like the Steam version is discounted right now, which is great. Okay, you know what? On Swatch, it's only $19.99. So it's only $3 more than the discounted Steam version. And I kind of like that format, being able to play it on the Switch.
Yeah, you should. It's very good. I'm super impressed with it. I mean, Devolver Digital.
I don't do this often, Scott, but I'm buying it just based on your recommendation. Just based on you telling me that.
Normally, I'd be nervous about that because I don't want to steer any of my friends wrong. Obviously, tastes are different. Sure. But in this case, it's just no way you don't like this. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Because I like both gambling and cheating.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. It's the first thing I thought of. Man, who do I know? Who do I know that has aces in his pocket right now and that would like to cheat?
Oh, that's not an ace.
Yeah.
That's a club.
That's a club.
Let's see. There we go. Okay. It's downloading to my deal right now.
Nice. I think you're going to love it. You'll have to tell me when you're done.
Yep, I will. I totally will.
All right. Cool. We're going to... Oh, you know what's fun is reading books. That's what's fun.
Oh, I like that. I don't like cheating on reading books.
Yeah,
don't cheat. I like reading the books and not cheating on reading.
I agree. And so to help us do that, we're gonna bring Amy in, who will help us figure out a way not to cheat as we read our books. That'll happen now. Hey, look who it is. It's Amy Robinson, a.k.a. Red Fraggle 3, joins us on Thursdays, makes book recommendations and other sort of reading issues before the people. I don't know what I'm saying. Amy, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you?
Reading issues. That's
reading issues. You know, reading issues. We all have reading issues, and we should read.
When you get stuck on the toilet with nothing to read, that's a reading issue.
Definitely happens. Yeah. It's very nice to have you here. I hope you're well.
Reading tissue.
Yeah, reading tissue.
Right.
Welcome back to the show. We're gonna dive right in. I guess you sent me a clip here. Anything you want me to say, or do you want to say anything before I play it?
Yeah, so I actually kind of want to introduce this one a little bit. So yesterday we had kind of a big event. As you guys may have noticed, when we were in Vegas, Chuck does not drink. And
I did notice that. Yeah.
Yes, it's not for the reason that, you know, like you and Kim don't drink just because you don't drink. Yeah. But Chuck actually has a problem. And so he decided he actually got called out by one of our friends for being a little obnoxious at a party. And he was like, OK, that's it. This has become a problem. I don't drink anymore. Mm. And that was in. It was a Thanksgiving party. So he stopped drinking December 1st of last year. And so yesterday was his 6-month sober anniversary, I guess. 6-month anniversary of being sober.
Great for him. That's awesome.
And it's really been great. I mean, he's really, you know, he misses it from time to time. But it's like, you know, in fact, he had a really hard time at the video game place in Vegas because it was like wall full of tap handles and everybody was, just casually having a beer. And he was like, will you ask them if they have some non-alcoholic beer? Because I really want a beer, you know. And thankfully, that place was so impressive. They did. They had not only selection of non-alcoholic beer. They had like 6.
Oh, wow.
Nice. That's a lot of choices for non-alcoholic beer for a place that makes probably a good portion of its money on getting people drunk.
No kidding.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and there was one there that, you know, we knew and recognized and knew that he liked. So that was cool.
Nice.
I just, you know, in honor of that, that's kind of what today's book is about. And it's actually a book recommendation from Chuck. By proxy, this is Chuck's recommendation. I'm also in the middle of reading it, but it is very good. But I will say also real quick, Scott, the narrator on this clip is not me. So
okay.
It's okay. You don't need to freak out.
That's right. I'm suspicious every time now, but now that we've had this disclaimer, I feel like we're in safe water, so no worries. All right, here we go. Let's play it.
Now consciously drinking to ease the shame of what I'd done while drinking the night before. The things I did in shared flats were usually not so much bad or dramatic as stupid and annoying. Making a mess when trying to cook drunk late at night. Eating flatmates' food as I never had enough of my own. Their alcohol drunk and replaced. Asking to borrow £10 or £20 to see me over until payday. Then going to the off licence, slipping back into my room with the door closed and the window open. I would put a token number of bottles and cans in the recycling, then tie up the rest in carrier bags and push them into dustbins on the street. I left the house chinking and smelling of stale booze. There were empty bottles in the bottom of my wardrobe and empty cans lined up along my bedroom skirting board. My behaviour brought tension into the household. Unpredictable noise levels, Tuesday night parties with strangers, men I brought home, leaving my handbag outside the front door and possessions trailing up the stairs. These episodes were followed by the depressive shadow of my hungover days in bed. I was always getting into horrible states. But what other people perhaps didn't realise was that I didn't want to get into horrible states. I remember and respect the people who had the courage to try to talk to me about my drinking. I would nod and cry. But after the breakup, I was self-pitying and self-justifying. "You're quite right to be worried about me," I'd say. "I'm in pain." He left me because of my drinking. So now I was free to drink.
Jeez. Why is this woman's voice so familiar to me? Should I know who this is?
I don't think so. So that is Amy Liptrot, and this is her autobiography.
Gee, I wonder if she's got a British last name at all. That sounds like a very...
Liptrot.
Liptrot,
yes. Yeah. Wow. She's actually from Scotland, and the whole story is essentially she ends up, you know, in London, and she's, you know, partying and just drinking to excess until basically she hits rock bottom and then returns home to Orkney, which Orkney are the sort of the outer islands on the edge of Scotland. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot there's no way to drive to them. You have to take a ferry. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, I've been there. It's middle of nowhere kind of place, you know, people actually raising sheep and Oh, whatnot. Wow. So yeah, like we went to see this one lady who runs a wool shop out there, and she actually has her own sheep and then spins the wool herself. And I mean, it's like, it is full on idyllic, you know, nobody for miles kind of place. So she ends up out there and and basically gets herself clean and starts really enjoying just being on Orkney, where she had been, you know, immersing herself in London partying and culture and things like that.
Did we say the name of the book yet? I don't know if we did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's called The Outrun.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I wasn't sure which one I was clicking on here. I'm looking on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. She's got a brand new one this year.
Oh, does
yeah.
she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yep. Cool. She's got The Instant by Amy Liptrot as well. So, yeah. And Chuck's very excited about that. He's like, Amy Liptrot has a new book. So I'm like, okay, great. Let me finish this one.
She has a very alluring accent. I freaking love it. I could listen to that all day.
She actually talks about her accent in the book, because apparently, you know, she, like I said, she grew up on the Orkneys and then moved to London and lost a lot of her accent. And so people from London didn't believe that she was from there, and people from Orkney also don't believe that she's from there because her accent just got so weirdly muddled. But I love it. I could listen to her mm-hmm. talk all day. It's a really interesting story, and you'd almost think it's almost the reverse of what you'd think, right? Like that someone with a problem with depression and drinking and stuff found their way by basically running away and being a hermit. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of counterintuitive. But if you've ever been to Orkney, you can kind of understand why, because that place, the place itself is intoxicating, because it's beautiful and there's nothing to distract you. You know, you will be the only, there's single track roads and you know, things like that, and sheep blocking the road, and you just have to kind of sit there and wait. I mean, it's that kind of place, you know, with stone walls
and rolling green hills.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, and puffins that invade the island, you know, seasonally and things like
that.
Wait,
what's a puffin? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Oh, they're those little birds. Oh. Yeah, they look kind of like a cross between a toucan and a penguin.
Oh, they're kind of furry, furry looking things.
When we went to Skellig Michael in Ireland, that Octo from The Force Awakens, we came out just outside of puffin season. Apparently that thing is littered with puffins for the few months right before we went out there. And it would have been great. I really wish there would have been some puffins, because I've never seen one. I mean, obviously in a zoo, but I've never seen something like that in the wild. It just would have been amazing to see all that.
They got those crazy beaks. Yeah, those are weird.
Yeah. It's really funny you say that, Brian, because when Chuck and I went to Scotland a handful of years ago, and we spent some time on Orkney, and he actually booked us with, and this is, I recommend this to anybody. If you're going to go a place like this, you can hire a local. There's usually people who do, you know, tour guides and stuff like that, and that's what they do. Hire a local person to just drive you around all day. And that's what we did. And we got this guy, his name was Kinley, and he drove us around, and we asked about the puffins, and he was like, oh, those little bastards. They're never there. When people always want to go see these damn birds, and they're never there.
Right.
It reminds me of there's a Alaskan cruise. One of the big things they push is, hey, for $250, you can go whale watching. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some people who, the four times they've gone on this thing, they've paid the $250 mm-hmm. and no whales. Just
no
didn't
way,
show
really?
Up.
Oh
yeah. And they can't control it. It's not like you can make the whales be there. But how frustrating. When we go to Alaska or when we do our cruise, when we are not doing the whale thing, because I'm not throwing $250 away.
That's a big gamble. It's funny, there you should be able to get a cheaper excursion, because imagine you're going to a port where there's consistently whale appearances. You might be able to pay for a cheaper excursion that's not put up by the cruise ship, because we did that in Ketchikan, and we saw we saw whales.
Oh, you did see whales.
But it was like $60 compared to $200 whatever.
That's a lot better. Okay. Well, we'll look into it.
I definitely that there's something to be said for if you're traveling to a place, like finding a local person instead of there's also something to be said for some of the cruise excursions themselves can be fun, and also you don't have to worry about an excursion that was booked through the cruise line, they're not going to leave without you. Whereas if you just kind of get off the boat and do your own thing, they'll leave. You know?
I always worry I'm going to end up with like the Jay Peterman experience with Kramer behind the wheel of a school bus or something. You know what I mean? Right, like they're going to say it's one thing, but it's just some guy in a puppet or I don't know what it would be. Anyway, well, this sounds interesting. I love people's, documented journeys through hard things. Mm-hmm. Those are
it's really good, and it's also she does a lot of really rich descriptions of Orkney, which I think that's one reason why my husband likes this book so much, is because it kind of transports him, because he loves Scotland. So she has like these gorgeous descriptions of things, and she talks about how in summer it never really gets dark, it just gets dim. If you're up in Orkney. So I have a really funny story about when we went to Orkney, if we have time.
Yeah,
if you
go
guys
for it.
We totally have time. Yeah.
Okay. So when we went, we traveled all around Scotland. We did like something like 2 or 3 weeks we spent. We went to Glasgow. We went to, the Orkneys. We went to Islay. We went to Edinburgh. Edinburgh. Over the place. Yeah. And so when we took the ferry over to mainland Orkney, which that makes it sound like it's part of mainland Scotland, but it's not. It's just the biggest island in the Orkneys, which is, it's also just a rock in the middle of the ocean. There's nothing. But we stayed at this wonderful bed and breakfast that was actually a farm. And I should mention the rental car we had, they gave us a Fiat 500, which if you don't know what those are, it's like, it's huge for a car in the UK. And it was just the two of us. Really? And people asked us, they were like, I mean, it's like, it's basically if you took an SUV and like, it's a big station wagon, basically.
Yeah. And you hear
like the
Fiat. Someone says Fiat and you go, oh, Fiat, that's a little tiny French car.
A little tiny. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But no, the Fiat 500, she got a big ass. So, but anyway, we called her Wonder Pig because that was kind of what the license plate spelled. But anyway,
I like what these look like. These are cool. I would drive one.
I mean, it was a great little car.
Yeah, but not when you're driving on the wrong side of the road in a country that's known for having very narrow lanes.
Yeah,
single track roads where you have to like pull over. If there's a truck, you have to pull over and pray.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, and one of our friends that lives over there, he asked us like, "Why did you guys get such a big car?" We're like, "I guess we were American, so they gave us the big car. I don't know. Like, we didn't ask for it. That's just what they gave us."
Yeah.
So we go to Orkney, and we figure, okay, it's a tiny island. Let's just go out and explore. You know, we could just drive around. I mean, how hard can it be?
Sure.
We're not going to get lost or anything. It's a tiny island. So we go and we drive into the little section of town where there's a pub and there's some shops and things. And my first clue should have been the fact that I told my husband to turn right and the signpost called it Hellhole Road. That should have been my first red flag. Probably. But we were all, oh, no, we're having an adventure. Let's go. So we're driving down this road and then all of a sudden, there's just no more road. There wasn't a sign that said dead end or anything. And when I say that, I don't mean that, like, you know, there was a cul-de-sac or anything like that. It was like a wall, a stone wall on one side, a building on the other side. And then it turned into a sidewalk with a handrail and everything. It was just no more road. And so we were like, okay, what do we do? Yeah. And so I said, okay, well, I guess just reverse until we can figure out how to, you know, do like a 16-point turn and get us out of here.
Yeah.
So we try doing that. And then we're getting really, again, this car is way too big for this space. Long story short, too late. We got we got the car stuck in between the wall and the building. And I was like, we had done the thing where I got out of the car while Chuck was maneuvering it back and forth, you know, and I'm like telling him, okay, you can move a little bit. Okay, no, you can't move a little bit. And then finally he's looking at me and going, what should I do? And I said, I have no idea. Your bumper's literally touching on both sides.
Oh my God. Wow. Did they insure against that? Like, did you take it back for the rental and go, yeah, these scratches on the side, they were already there. Like, what'd you do? What'd you say?
So here's the really fun part. I am freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, how are we even going to get out of this? Yeah. And then we had a cell phone. So we called the lady at the bed and breakfast and we told her what had happened. And we were asking if there was a tow truck or something. And she said, no, we don't have a tow service on the island. We just use a tractor. And I was like, oh my God, there's no way you're not going to get a tractor down here. So her husband, the farmer, she says, okay, well, I'll ask Robbie when he gets back. You know, we'll just he's out feeding the calves right now. So, but when he comes back, I'll send him up there. And of course, it starts to rain. Somebody comes, a dude just walking down the street comes walking down and looks at us. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we're dumb and we're stuck here. You're welcome to go through our car if you want. And he's like, no, that's okay. I'll just go around.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah. So Robbie shows up and looks at it and is like, well, you did well getting it that far. And so he brings a jack. And what it was like one of those rolling jacks like they have at NASCAR races and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And he brings one of those and just jacks it up. And we just shove it over. Like, that's wow. How we got it unstuck. And wow. The punchline is, to answer your question, Scott, when I looked at, you know, they give you the little manifest for the car when you rent a car and sure. It tells you where there's already damage or whatever. The back bumper was already scratched when we got
nice.
It.
Nice.
Okay.
And it That's said kind of
carte
that,
blanche to do whatever you want to the back.
Right.
Bumper.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, when we returned the car, the rental place, they never said anything, never charged awesome. Us any extra or anything like that. So we completely got away with it. But yeah, I'll send you the picture. Chuck is in the chat right now saying, yeah, there's a picture. It's amazing. Like, you can see that this car is completely wedged in there. It looks like I photoshopped it in there. It's hilarious.
That's great.
So yeah, that was our little adventure on mainland Orkney.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'm more interested in the book because of your description.
Yeah. I might it's check great. It out. And Orkney is a wonderful place to go and visit if you just want to not exist for a while. You know, if you
off
just
the
want
grid,
to
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, and there's internet out there, but it's pretty slow. And but, you know, it's this place that we stayed, the farm we stayed at. She served us giant, humongous, full English breakfast, full Scottish breakfast, and like with eggs that had come out of the chicken's butt that morning, you know, kind of thing. So
awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm just visualizing the sausages and the fried tomato and my God, that all sounds so good right now.
I want that right this freaking second. My gosh.
Yeah.
Do they have the black pudding or the haggis, you know, the sheep
there
parts.
Was, yeah. There was haggis. I never got up the courage to try haggis. I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. But Chuck had some. Yeah, but yeah, there was haggis. And I don't remember. Zoe's asking if there was black pudding. I don't remember if there was black pudding or not, because I that would not be.
You wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have partaken in the black pudding because I'm a chicken. But
Zoe wanted to correct Brian. Brian at one point said driving on the wrong side of the road, which I know what he meant. Yeah. But then she quickly said, not the wrong side, the left side. She says,
uh-huh. Well, right, actually, uh-huh. Not even that. It's a single track road. So you're
driving on both sides.
There is no
side.
You are driving on. Yeah.
You're driving on the road.
The road. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I hate those. Those stress me out so bad where you just don't know if you're going to be able to get around somebody. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that feeling. Mm-hmm. Plus in Europe, they were all, nobody ever had the forethought to double lane anything back then. They were just like, nah, we'll work it out. Right. These two horses
we'll just
carriages.
Get the horses around each other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. The some bad forethought on the, on our British heritage. Well, anyway, go check it out. It is called Out the Outrun, a memoir. and is available now on Kindle, audiobook, hardcover, paperback, all that stuff, audio CD, whatever your flavor of choice is, by Amy Liptrot. Is it Trout or Trot?
Trot.
Liptrot.
Liptrot.
Amy Liptrot.
Yep, it's an amazing name and quite a good book, according to all these reviews, plus what you said. I think it sounds like a real good read. Amy, anything else you want to tell people?
Yes. So we are firming up details for this Asheville meetup. It's going to be the weekend of September 10th in Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so if you haven't already filled out the survey, please do. It's been posted to all the places. But we'll post it again for anybody who needs it. And there we go. Chuck just threw it in the chat there. So, yeah, go fill out your survey. Let us know, because we're looking to book a place to stay pretty soon. So
yeah, you guys are going to throw everybody all together in like one big Airbnb or something, right?
Yeah,
that's the plan.
That sounds awesome. You guys are cool. So the other day I said to Kim, I said, hey, did you know about this? And I pointed it out when it was. She goes, oh, we should go. And I said, we should, except we'll be on a boat that day. She's like, oh, right.
So you're going to be, that's the same time as your cruise? Because yep, it's the same time as my trip to D23 Expo. So
yeah, we're all, all of us are effed.
Perfectly timed for TMS, poorly timed for the meetup.
Yeah, but I'm really excited to see how you guys do and how much fun you're going to have. It's going to be great to hear about. Sure.
Yeah, so. we got Dunaway to commit to coming, so cool. we will have a Dunaway, and we're reaching out to Dan, the tabletop man. We're going to have lots of gaming. Cool. We're going to go to the Retrocade in Asheville.
We'll come to 2.0. Scott and I will be there for 2.0.
Yeah, whatever 2.0 is, let's make it happen. That sounds like a lot of fun. Plus, I've never been to that.
Asheville.
Yeah. Never been there.
Asheville. It's pretty. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's lots
Asheville
of really good
Citizen
food.
Times, is if I remember correctly.
I was going to ask if you did a paper there. Yeah. That's good.
I'm going to double check it. Asheville. I'm going to see if I have it right. That's one I remember very distinctly.
It's better than the what's the New Orleans one?
Asheville Citizen Times, sure enough.
Nice. Nice. Brian has had his hands all over those people. All right.
Well,
there you have it. Hey, Amy, we'll look forward to seeing you next week. And as we get closer to the event, we'll make sure we give as many people as much heads up as possible. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to do the morning news and finish some stuff up there. But before that, a quick song break that Brian has brought. What do you got there?
Big thanks to Earshot Media for this one. This is a band called Pretty Killer. They're from Worcester, Mass. And they've got a brand new single called Blossom. It's also featuring some guest appearances by Kellen Quinn and Monty Zahn. This is great. This is they locked themselves in a Vermont cabin near the Canadian border to come up with this song. grunge pop, new punk. Anyway, it's really, really good. Here's the song Blossom by Pretty Killer.
I was suicidal. Cobain was my idol. At a tender age in bloom. Faded in a basement with a new replacement. Looking for a different view. Yeah. I tried to put the bottle down. No one was left. They not around. And I thought that God had got me through. I'm starting to think it all was you. And I'm your pony boy and I'm still riding. Told you stay cold and you're still shining. I'm on the outside, but I wanna be home with you. Kisses on my scars. There's distance, not too far.
your side. No matter what happens on this ride.
I'm your pony boy and I'm still riding. Told you stay cold and you're still shining. I'm on the outside, but I wanna be home with you. On my scars, there's distance not too far. I'm all in a folding. I got you, you're golden.
Did you know that if you eat well and you exercise and you sleep well and drink a lot of water, you still die?
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
All right, we're back, everybody. Hey, Brian, who was that again?
That is the band Pretty Killer featuring Kellen Quinn and Monty Zahn and a song called Blossom.
Fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we've returned. Yeah. That means it's time for a little bit of this this stuff here. Yeah, that's right. It's the morning news, and it's brought to you by...
It's brought to you by Coverville today, featuring the music of Charles Negron II, who's turning 80 this week or early next week. You're saying, who is Charles Negron II? Well, he's also known as Chuck Negron, and he's also one of the dogs in Three Dog Night. Yeah, it's a band with three lead singers, so they called themselves Three Dog Night. So, covers of a band that's known for doing a lot of covers. A lot of the songs that you love by Three Dog Night are actually covers of other song of other people, like Joy to the World, and let me pull up some other ones here. And not that. Joy to, not that one.
Joy the
one.
To Joy the World. To the all world, the boys and
all
girls.
All the boys and girls, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Shambhala, Black and White, Mama Told Me Not to Come, Never Been to Spain. All of these are songs that were originally done by other people. But they turned them into massive hits. And so we're going to hear some other versions of those songs that they also covered, plus some songs that they did originally and some covers that they did of lesser known or songs that weren't big hits for them that they did covers of. So all of that coming up today, I believe normal time, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. That gives me time to see if I can figure out the Marvel Snap streaming. And if I don't stream Marvel Snap, then I'll probably stream this new Card Shark thing.
Oh, yeah, you should. That people would love watching that. It's got story to it, but it's all done in text, so it's not like you have to hear it.
Cool.
Yeah, as far as I know. I don't think there's been any voice yet, but anyway, I'm so excited for you to play that. Yeah, so check it out. 1 p.m. today, live Coverville at twitch.tv/Coverville. All right.
Exactly.
End of an era, everybody. Let's celebrate for a moment. The removal. I don't know if we should celebrate it. I don't know if it's sad for some people. I don't know. But the very last payphone in New York City. Public payphone moved.
Sounds like a Paul Simon song. It's the last payphone in New York City.
It kind of does. Let's bring him out of semi-retirement and make him do that. That's right. Song.
Exactly, yeah.
It's an end of an era. This is the final one of these is being removed.
And the neighbors are so glad that the constant random ringing of that last payphone will finally stop.
Yep, it'll finally stop. And no more... You know, somebody down there trying to avoid police, and then they got to trace them, and they only had a minute to do it, and then they barely missed it because the guy hung up. All those tropes, they're all gone now.
Yep. Where would Superman change, though?
It says here, oh, yeah, good point, right? That's his whole deal. With the advent of cell phones, the payphones across the world have vanished, but one remained on 7th Avenue until its removal on Monday by Link New York City, whatever that is. The removal of the payphone in New York began in 2015. That's when they started to remove them. Link NYC is the technology that essentially replaced them. It's like, I guess, digital billboards that offer free Wi-Fi on the street. So it's you have a communication. These are communication hubs that replaced cell phones, or sorry, payphones, but they're there to give you, Wi-Fi to whatever device you're using. So. Anyway, since they installed that, it facilitated over 3 billion Wi-Fi sessions and more than 10 million subscribers. The digital billboards also display PSAs.
I'm gonna interrupt you.
Yeah.
This apparently, according to Snopes.com, big thanks to Taxicab, is fake.
What? CBSNews.com. Yeah. This isn't some fake site.
CBS News and even the NYC Office of Technology and Innovation said proud to bid farewell to New York City's last payphone. However, let's see here. The removed Times Square payphones are not even close to being the last ones remaining in New York City. On TikTok, one user commented, "This is not true. There are many still in New York City." Another person responded, "There's a payphone on the Upper West Side."
Weird. Okay. Yeah. Why do they say these are the... Why? Why?
Because they forgot about those other ones. CBS, the communication department of New York City kind of forgot that there were these other payphones in these other places.
All right, so they went through the schmoo of acting like it was a big deal because they had like a crowd around it,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, like a cutting of the... instead of a ribbon cutting, do they cut the cord that connects the receiver to the...
Oh, that'd be great, right? Just like
that would
snip
be great.
It.
Like giant scissors.
Yeah. Well, all right, so it's not the last one. It's the last one on 7th Avenue. How about that?
There you go. Yeah. Last one in Times Square. And you know what? That's something because those are probably gross. Covered with gross.
I couldn't tell you the last time I saw one. I can't think of when I've seen a phone. One of those. I didn't see any in Vegas.
I'm using one. I'm trying to think of the last time I may have used a payphone.
Oh, it's been like 20 plus years for me.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like late 90s.
I probably was in Asheville, North Carolina. Like probably at one of these... installations, and I come back to the airport, and I'm like, oh, my Trio 650 is dead. I'll use a payphone to call Tina and let her know I'm flying back.
Yeah, yeah. Or when I had where we all had a pager era, where we all had pagers for a hot minute, and you had to go to some phone and call the pager and find out what the hell happened.
Right.
That's back when we had long distance charges. What were we doing?
Oh my gosh.
What a racket. Everything was a racket back then. Still is today.
Still. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. We still have rackets.
Plenty of rackets. But some of these, they just blow my mind that they ever got away with it. Like long-distance phone calls as if you had to do shit to do anything to take it further on the copper. It's so stupid.
Right.
Out of the country, I get it. There's a lot of stuff involved.
Sure.
It
makes sense. A lot of things that have
state,
to be in place.
Like, me calling somebody in Idaho, freaking F off. That's stupid. Why was that ever a thing? The other thing that was dumb is when text messaging started, they charged you per text.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or per I'm sorry. It was a character limit or something.
Oh,
right?
Really? I mean, you still get those, your messaging rates may apply or something like that.
Everyone still says that, even though most don't. I don't think anyone charges it.
No. I don't know if there's any cell phone company that's still charging for texting, man.
So bad. Like, what are we doing? But honestly, I think the next domino in that thing to fall, and it's already kind of falling in a lot of places, is any kind of bandwidth limits, like bandwidth caps from ISPs. Mm-hmm. That is a version of that. It's a total joke, total racket, total BS. Quit doing it.
Yeah. All it's going to take is like the first one saying, no, we're doing away with that, because that's what does that is companies trying to be competitive with each other. Otherwise, they're all just getting together and saying, hey, you know what? We figured out we can charge them for having a number 9 on their phone. What do you think of that? Yeah. Let's charge them for having a number 9.
Yeah. Let's do it, Bill. Freaking hate it. I understand we live in a profitable society. Everybody's got to figure out their angle, but freaking knock it off. Hate it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a story.
Okay.
A man disguised as an old woman attacked Mona Lisa with a cake. This is kind of.
I saw the video for this. I think we all saw the video for this. Holy crap.
I have not seen the video for this yet. Is there
video? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There must be on this link.
He doesn't. Then he turns to the camera and says, fight the real enemy.
Oh. Well, what? No,
he says, he says something just as stupid. He says, think about the planet. Or something along those lines.
Okay,
yes.
So this is him doing one of those deals. All right. Yes. So this is in the Louvre in Paris. This part I knew. Yesterday, May 29th, or was that yesterday? A couple days ago. Man disguised as a woman smeared cake all over the Mona Lisa. And one Twitter user wrote, a man dressed as an old lady jumped out of a wheelchair and attempted to smash the bulletproof glass of the Mona Lisa before smearing cake on the glass. It's important to note those things are protected. They don't, just break them.
They are now. There was like a janitor 20 years ago who took the Mona Lisa home for a while, like some sort of inside job deal. Yeah.
I forgot about that guy. Whatever happened to him? Jail, I assume.
I'm sure. Yeah. He's French jail.
French jail.
No cheese or baguettes for you.
No, or maybe it's only cheese and baguettes.
Maybe it's only cheese and baguettes.
That's all he gets to eat in that place. Let's see. The man whose identity had not been confirmed claims to be an environmental protester. As Brian said, he yelled this stuff. Quote, think about the earth. There are people who are destroying the earth. Think about that. All the artists tell you to think about the earth. All the artists think about the earth. That's why I did this. Think about the planet, shouted the disguised man as he was escorted out of the museum.
Okay. All right.
Needs a couple more lines. He needs a little more repertoire to his
exactly.
Stuff.
Like, did you... Maybe, I don't know, write it down on your arm if you need some more notes.
Yeah. It's just a little, some cliff notes? What's the word I'm looking for?
Crib notes. You need the cramming or...
Is it crib notes? Crib sheet?
Crib notes, yes.
Crib notes is correct. Yeah. That sounds weird.
Cribbing.
Someone in the chat says it doesn't matter because they keep these paintings somewhere else in a vault. These are fakes. Is that true? I don't know.
I don't know. Would they tell us? It does feel like something that people would assume and say and make up the story for.
That's a fun conspiracy. I'm just saying, is it true? I mean, how would you know? Maybe that's why it's a conspiracy because nobody knows.
The Illuminati have all of these things in their basement.
Yeah, that's how they. That's when you know you hit.
I'm not talking about the Doctor Strange Illuminati. I'm talking about the real Illuminati.
But when you know you've hit Illuminati level when suddenly they give you a famous old painting and you have to put it in your house.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You still haven't seen Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
As soon as that hits Disney Plus, I'm in.
Okay.
You got me there. I'll watch that movie for sure. I am keeping up episode to episode with the
Obi-Wan.
The Obi-Wan. Although we didn't have time last night, but today I'm gonna watch it.
So really you just watched the first two episodes that dropped last week.
Yeah. So I'm gonna my goal is I don't wanna have them stack. I'm gonna try to catch them before the next one comes out.
We watched all three of the first episodes last night, just back to back to back, and dang, it's good. It is So it's not what I was expecting. I really, I'm not going to say, in case people haven't watched it, but I really thought that we were going to be following another direction with him.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Yeah. I didn't expect
because of things that are said in A New Hope.
These modern Star Wars writers, though, you know what they sure like? They like a grizzled, crusty old guy walking around the universe, and they like to have a little baby version of something with them. Right. You know?
Yes.
I'm not saying it's bad.
I do like that they have a little baby version of something that the little baby version has as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, yes. There's always a little object that the little baby something's obsessed with.
I need to print that, by the way. I need to really quickly get that one together.
Yeah, get that one out. And I'm not even saying this is a problem. I'm just saying... some similarities exist.
Sure.
That's all.
You need a cute sidekick is what every Disney Plus show has.
Yeah. It's a, it's a boy and his dog kind of deal. That's what's going on here. All right. Let's see. It's time. So I'll save these other two stories for later. There's one of these I can't wait to do on Monday. Monday. So we're done with news. Real quick here. We have a PM tomorrow. I don't know if Dan's here or not. We're going to find out. Okay.
Oh, I've got a game. I've got App Slappy to do if we don't.
Yeah, same. I'll do a bigger report on this whole Diablo Immortal thing if Dan's not here. If he is here, of course, we'll have Dan. So we'll see how that goes. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. Mountain. 2 or 2:30? What do we do? 2.
We do 2.
Right?
Do we do?
It is 2, isn't it?
Yes. We do 2 because then I do guess the connection at 3:30 right after.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So 2 o'clock tomorrow, PM edition. It's been a while, folks.
Come on.
It's for patrons only, so just make sure you check it out. One quick final thing. Got a complaint to register for a listener. This is from Braxton. Right. He sent this in.
Does he not like the way I've named something?
Yeah, he doesn't like any of that. And it's your shirt is the big problem. Just kidding.
Sure, let him complain about that. Yeah. I can't hear him over it, so whatever.
Yeah, here's his theme for that. He says, I don't appreciate the sudden change in music for Dunaway's intro for the Monday and Wednesday game shows. Please correct this ASAP. No, here's why I took it out and changed it. I didn't say earlier why, but here's why. I started getting takedowns from YouTube because it's a song that, well, it's not even a whole song. It's a piece of a song that's very popular, and, you know, people get
it's,
weird.
It's actually a piece of two songs that's very popular. Yeah. It's Perez Prado and whoever that Mambo number five, that guy, whatever that guy's name is.
Can't think of his name either. But yeah, as a result, I was starting
Lubega.
Lubega, that's it. So I was getting all these like threatening like takedown notices and stuff because YouTube's weird. And so I went with something that I made sure was 100% copyright free, which is this thing, which is totally fine. It works fine.
It's exactly what they played to get Elvis to come up on stage.
That's right. His fat years. Oh, they're the best. Yeah. Best years. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go, Braxton. That's your answer. And I wish your last name was Hicks. Or Hicks. So you'd be Braxton Hicks. I think that'd be great.
Yes, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, you get that little reference there that I made there.
Glad you explained.
Yeah. The best jokes are always ones you have to explain.
Put the pieces together.
Yeah. They're the best jokes. Like, if you explain them, you've obviously won comedy. You're a comedy legend. All right.
I wish that he had a prename called Tony, because then he'd be Tony Braxton.
Oh, I see. See, that's pretty good.
See, Tony Braxton.
That's not bad. Like Tony Braxton, the singer. So you have to explain it.
Yeah, Tony Braxton, the singer, yes.
Yeah, or else the joke doesn't work. All right. That's it, everybody. Thanks for being here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support our show. It's a brand new month, so it's a perfect time to hop in. I'm about to submit some brand new artwork for the month, and when I do that, I always think of you fine folks at home. So if you want to collect all of that, or just get in on one of the other levels, it's super cheap. As low as a buck a month, you can get in and be a part of it. That is patreon.com/TMS. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. We're going to play a final song now and leave you. Brian, what is it?
Yes, we are playing a song, and it's going out to Corinna. She says, "Hi, spaghetti and bolognese. I'm emailing from the sunny beaches of Manitoba, Canada."
Whoa.
Hit the button.
Oh, Canada.
Canada!
There it is.
There you go. "I've been listening since the incident started, along with my brother-in-law, Jordan. He is a cop, and his birthday is on June 2nd. He's too macho to admit that his favorite song is Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. Brian, can you please play a cover of his most absolutely favorite song of all time?" Boy, this is starting to sound sarcastic.
Yeah.
"Scott, can I get a Flamingo Obi-Wan Kenobi?"
Oh, well, first you can get this. Okay, that's for your brother-in-law.
For your officer brother.
Yeah, yeah. And then what was it?
Flamingo Obi-Wan Kenobi. I guess it's a van clip.
I don't know what the flamingo part is.
All right, have him just saying Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh,
I think that's what.
I know what it is. Okay, so here's the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Obi.
and then flamingo, I think, is him swearing. Let me make sure that's what I think this is.
All right.
Yeah, here we go.
What the f***?
I'll just play. That's all I got. He couldn't say flamingo without saying the F word, but that's all. I don't have any recordings of it. So
dang cute.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jordan, from your favorite sister-in-law. As we say in Canada, peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Love it.
Sure. Shake It Off. Okay. I could play a cover of Shake It Off. I was singing it yesterday because I had been spending the morning looking for just the right cover of the song to play on TMS. And I think I found it. How about a Humpa Humpa version? Yes. A Norwegian, what do they call that? Humpa Humpa music. It's kind of like polka music, lots of horns and stuff.
I hope it's called Humpa Humpa.
It's called Humpa Humpa music.
Okay.
This is a band called the Himaita Dimish.
Nailed it, I'm sure.
Let's call it that. This is from their 2019 album, Circus Oberkrane. And listen, somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody let me know about this band, and I immediately paid for all of their albums, which you can't get on streaming, and I had to buy them and have them shipped from Norway.
Wow.
Because they're so good.
Wow. All
yes. Right. All covers, all fantastic. Here you go. Here's their cover of Taylor Swift's Shake It Off.
See you guys on PM for the rest of you on Monday. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Don't care about no bandage-wrapped mummy.
Yeah.
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 Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.